I'm Jared, and we are looking at the life of Noah. And Noah is kind of a famous story. Most people, even if they're not Christians, know about the story of Noah. But we're going to look at some of the things of Noah and what it means to us. Normally, when you think about the flood and Noah, you think about Genesis chapter 6 through about 9. But we're going to go a little bit earlier to Genesis chapter 5. So I want you to open up. If you got your Bible along, that's ideal. You can use a tablet. You can use your phone. But I think there's something nice about having something tactile in your hands. So this is Genesis chapter 5. There's a heading there that says Adam to Noah. That is added. That is not something that's in the Bible, just like the verses, just like the numbers, so that you and I can find the same spot. That was added about 500 years ago. So we're in Genesis chapter 5, and this is what it says. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created. So this is kind of a key concept. When God created the world, it was perfect. And God, who is in charge of all things, who ruled all things, said, I want to make human beings in my image, in my likeness. And in that, we got to be, Adam and Eve being, got to reflect God's perfection in all the things they did. Now we have this big, sudden change when it gets to Genesis chapter 3, which starts kind of a spiral all the way down from Genesis 3 all the way down till about really Genesis 11 when we have God's call to Abraham. So this is how it changes. So in the likeness of God, that means you're making decisions that line up with God. That means you love someone completely. However, Genesis 5:3, when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. All of this completely changes now, because now we are in our own image. In our minds, and because of the effects of sin, we want to call our own shots. And we see that. You could say that you love your spouse 100%, but is that totally true? There's still a little bit involved that's selfish. You can love your kids completely, but there's still a little bit of selfishness that is involved. This affects and permeates all people all the way down. So the world's getting worse and worse and worse. Now, how does this tie to our next point? After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years, and then he died. So one of the questions I get a lot when we start talking about some of these Old Testament stories or accounts, I prefer accounts because these are real events in the Bible. One of the questions people ask me is like, why do people live like 900 years then and now we only live like 70 or 80 years? How does this make any kind of sense? Well, I think there's a couple things. One is simply just practical. This is my opinion now. In my opinion, I think it's practical. A person gestates, if you want to use that word, for about 9 months. And so how much work would it take for someone to populate the whole entire planet if they only lived to be 30 or 40, 50, 60, 70 years old? A lot of work. Now, if someone lives quite a bit longer, well, let's just think about it this way. Does anyone have a pet rabbit? All right. Rabbits are known to be rabbits. And so the gestation period for a rabbit is like 30 days, not even. And they can get pregnant literally minutes after they give birth. So once they're ready to have babies, they can have 1 to 14 babies in a matter of a month. So now let's squeeze that down. We're going to assume this is an average rabbit. What are little ones called? Like bunnies or something? So little bunnies. There's 10. So 10 times 12 is 120. And then we do that for another year. We're at 240 youth or 200 bunnies, kits, whatever they're called, babies. Very, very different for human beings. So I think God allowed, just on a practical level, humans to live longer so that the earth could be populated. But I think there's a spiritual bend to it too. Adam lived 930 years, and he lived through what it was like to live in God's image perfectly and reflect God's love perfectly. And he also knew what it was like to have all those decisions affected and infected by sin. How many generations could sit at the feet of Adam and just hear him say, listen, I screwed up. The world was absolutely perfect. It was gorgeous. And we could do all these things in line with what God wants. And we served each other. We loved each other. We trusted each other. But after I let sin into the world and into our heart, that changes the whole thing. But then he could also tell them how many generations could sit at his feet and say, I've got a promise that God gave us, that there's a Savior that's going to come. So how does this all cycle around to where you're at with the book of Noah? I think you're not going to live 130 years or 930 years even, but you have a story to tell. How many people could sit at your feet and hear a story that says, listen, I've made a lot of mistakes. I've screwed up a lot in my life, but we have a God who made a promise that said he's going to send a Savior who's going to take care of it all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are so thankful for the accounts that you have in the Old Testament and that you show all things. You show how the world went downhill, but you also showed us a hope and a promise in Jesus. Help us live with that hope as we live for you. Amen.